Good morning, everybody. Glad to be in church this morning. Glad to be seen. Glad to have a Bible that I can read and draw close to the Lord Jesus Christ. For those that work here Wednesday and don't know, Miss Nancy Pirelli passed away on Wednesday. Sad news. I got a phone call right before coming to church Wednesday night, probably half an hour or 40 minutes before coming to church. And was notified that she was in an accident, ran over to the hospital, and she ended up passing away that evening. So please keep the Gertenberg family in your prayers. That's her brother and sister-in-law and the rest of her family. Keep Mr. Dennis in prayer as well. And then we put out new bulletins in the back there. It's got the information. I'll mention it Sunday morning as well. The funeral services, I got that information yesterday evening from Mr. Dave, her brother. And it'll be on Thursday over in Regalsville from 10 to 12. So 10 to 11 will be the viewing, and then 11 to 12 will be the funeral services. But her interment won't be until sometime the following week, so I don't have that information yet. I'm not sure. So, but just please keep that all in prayer, that God would just work in the services. You know, I'm a little sobered out this week because it's something to where you could hug somebody one week, and then the next week they're gone. I remember giving her a hug last week, right back there. Now this Sunday she's not here. So please keep the family in prayer, and that God would have his will away in the funeral services, and that he would be glorified and magnified in everything that is said and done. Amen. So let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer here this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning, Lord. I thank you for your mercy and your grace. And Lord, I just ask for your help this morning. Lord, I ask for your help for all the services today. Lord, that we would learn from them, that we would grow from it, dear God. And Lord, we redeem the time, dear Lord. And you know, we realize, Lord, that as it says in the book of James, that our life is but a vapor. We appear for a little time and then we vanish, Lord. So Lord, I pray you'd help us to take these things to heart, Lord. I believe as Moses prayed there in the Psalms, Lord, to teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. So Lord, help us to redeem the time, dear God. Help us to be faithful. And Lord, help us to learn and grow closer to you, Lord, and just stay faithful to that day that you call us home to heaven. So Lord, help us to be obedient. Lord, I pray you just help us now this morning as we go forward. Help us as we sing these songs, dear God, to lift our voices up to you and glorify you and praise you because you're worthy of it. And so, Lord, we ask these now in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. If you're able to stand this morning, page 296, sing page 296, if you're able to stand. Page number 296, All the Way My Savior Leads Me. Page 296.
Oh,
You remember what day it is that they moved him to the ER or to the hospital? Is it Thursday?
I believe so.
Please keep the Coles in prayer. They moved Derek to the hospital on Thursday. He's got double pneumonia. Which is probably going to be just pray. That's why I'm praying for these hymns.
Amen.
You can read the last line of that hymn where finding as the promise perfect peace and rest.
Yes, sir.
Perfect peace and rest. Page number 75, last one I see this one. We'll go to some spot. Page number 75, abide with me. This morning, look at Genesis chapter number 6. Genesis chapter number 6, if you have your Bible. Genesis chapter number 6. Amen. Genesis chapter 6 here. Going to try to close out what we've been looking at when it comes to Bashan and the things that we can grow from where the land of Bashan's at. Now, I know some may say, well, the land of Bashan, that was on the eastern side of Jordan, and it wasn't exactly the land that they were going to go in and possess, but overall, someday the children of Israel are going to have all that land all the way over to River Euphrates. But we know that in the land of Bashan that there was giants there, particularly Og, the king there of Bashan. We've kind of been looking over the last number of weeks about how we've got to go in order to get the good land, in order to get the land that's rich with soil that can grow crops and help not only plants to grow and trees to grow, but also can help us grow physically and
sheep and livestock to grow physically, but also kind of making a spiritual aspect of it, not just in a physical nature, because Israel was a physical nation that God gave a physical land to. But we are spiritual people, and God's given us a spiritual land that God desires for us to inhabit. But I'm afraid a lot of Christians today don't get into that land, the good land that God desires for us. And we need that good land in order to grow in the knowledge and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. For what purpose? To bear forth fruit. To have fruit in our life, and not just fruit, good fruit. Fruit that's desirable for one to eat. And so we've been looking at through the weeks about how hard it is to get into this land, because we find that there's giants in this land and that the enemy does not desire for us to get into this land. Basically, the enemy, now he can't take you out of the race. The enemy can't steal your salvation. He can't affect your salvation. But what he can do is he can hopefully try to get you discouraged to where you just sit off to the side and basically be inanimated towards the things of God. If you're saved, he doesn't want you involved in the battles. He doesn't want you fighting the good fight of faith. He doesn't want you doing God's will for your life. And he definitely doesn't want you witnessing for him. He wants your gospel to be hid. Okay? He doesn't want to shine forth to those that are out here in this world. And so if he can get us off track or on the sidelines, he's done his job and basically made us unprofitable in the things of God. So that's how we're kind of likening the giants to there. We're looking at it in a spiritual sense. And so today I'd like to kind of close up with these thoughts about what we face with the giants that possibly could show up in our lives to try to keep us out of this rich land. This land that's got rich soil, this land that's got fertile meadows, and also has flowing streams and brooks. Over there, at least in the olden days, I don't know how it is today, I think it is the same today for what the reading I've done on it, that area is still very good for crops and for raising livestock over there near Israel. Okay, so this morning, though, I want to pick up, we've been looking at this, it's sort of in the light of a tree. We looked at being planted near waters. Look at Genesis chapter 6 real quick here, and look at verse number 4. Noah had to deal with giants as well in those days. And the Bible says even after the days after Noah and his flood, which we see with David and some of his mighty men, and how David was able to take out with the strength of the Lord Goliath. But the Bible says in Genesis chapter 6 verse 4, there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, and the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And God saw in verse 5, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. God's grieved at what's going on here at this point. It says in verse 7, the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created, created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, the creeping thing, the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So we you know the story. Everybody in this church, I believe, knows the story. Not just knows it, but knows it very well, the story of Noah. But Noah lived in a time to where there were giants. Now, I believe these men were big. And I believe the Bible shows that these men were big. And we looked at that before. I mean, like I said, you look at some of the dimensions that the Bible gives you after the flood of a man's bed, and it was about the size of that up to that window up there from the floor. Those were the dimensions of what the giants that they had to deal with after the flood. Goliath was not just a scholar. Goliath was a big man. A big man so much so that everybody in Israel was afraid of him, okay, because of his size. So I don't think we're dealing with men of renown in the sense that they're scholarly men, and they separate it from, you know, the line of Seth. I think these are really big men, okay? Now, we spiritualize this, and there's really big giants that we got to face in our life that want to keep us from growing, like I said earlier, in the things of God. Now, take your Bible real quick, and I want you to look at Psalm 42. Psalm chapter 42, and I want you to look at verse number 1. Psalm chapter 42 and verse 1. Last week, we left off talking about the waters, and how the waters kind of represent sustainment, upkeep we need in our Christian life. But look at Psalm 42 And look at verse number 1. And look what this psalmist says here. It says, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Look what it says. It says, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? So the question I ask this morning is, there's waters to be had. There's waters in the Word of God. There's waters in prayer and fellowship with the Lord that can sustain us and help us. But my question this morning to you is, do you have a thirst after God? Do you have a thirst after God? You say, Jesus said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst. In his Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5. Are you hungry and thirsty for the things of God? Because if you're not hungry and thirsty, then you're never going to come to the waters and drink. The psalmist says here, he says, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. And he says in verse 2, my soul, this is a spiritual thirst. This is not a physical thirst. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. This psalmist says, I want God. I thirst after God. I thirst for the things of God. And he goes into verse 3. My tears have been my meat day and night while they continually say unto me, he says, where is thy God? Where is thy God? If there's really a God in heaven, then why does God let all these bad things happen in this world? Where is thy God? My friend, listen, all these bad things that happen in this world is not of God's doing, it's of man's doing. Man has brought this upon himself because of sin that occurred 6,000 years ago in the garden when man disobeyed God. And man has brought this upon himself. And God has allowed it, but God is not the cause of all evil in the world. Man and the devil is. Right? But what we'd find is that we have hope in Jesus Christ. You see, if your focus is on the Lord Jesus Christ and you thirst and hunger after righteousness, you realize that this life is very, very, very temporal. It moves very, very fast. And before we know it, at any moment, we could take that last breath and now we're crossing over into eternity. And from looking from eternity back into this, we're going to realize that this was not even a dash. It was a millisecond of a millisecond in a space of time when compared to eternity. What we're living in now is nothing compared to that over there. So when we live in the light of that over there, we'll go through and we'll, like Paul say, these light afflictions. Read about what Paul went through. And he says, oh, woe is me. How bad this is. No, he says, these light afflictions. These light afflictions. Brethren, did you hear in the news this week that they found, like, I think 30 life rafts that some people had sewn together and they had put little things around it to try to keep them afloat, and they sailed off from the coast of Miami to try to get to Cuba. Did you read about it? And the sharks got them and they ended up losing their life because they were trying to escape from America to Cuba. It wasn't in the news. I'm just trying to put perspective how good we have it in this country. We need to stop complaining about our government. We don't have a dictator. Last time I checked, there's nobody fleeing from America to try to get to Cuba. And there's nobody from America trying to flee to get to North Korea. And there's nobody from America trying to flee to get to Russia. But there are people from Russia, China, North Korea, Venezuela, Cuba, Honduras, Costa Rica, all these trying to get here. And I'm getting tired of Christians complaining about the government and all that. And I know bad things are happening. I get that. But last time I checked, the other day, I went to Walmart into some food stores, and there's so many things, foods to choose from. Brethren, look. I had somebody tell me this week. Well, just I'm tired of the authority of the government. I said, sir, go to Cuba. Go to Cuba. Because I know a young lady that I spent some good time, a good sister in the Lord. I actually had to teach her how to drive, but her daddy and her mama are still in Cuba and can't get to the States. And they have it so bad down there because of Fidel Castro. Well, now he's no longer here, but the dictatorship on that island, to where her daddy and mama were struggling trying to find food, and they're Christians. We need to put things in perspective. We really do need to put things in perspective. It's not as bad as it is in other places. North Korea. I'm sure many in this congregation here would not want to just take a trip and go and live in North Korea now today. They can't even leave their country. I say all that to say, to put things into perspective. We think we got it bad in the United States. Let's take a trip down to Haiti. We do not have it bad in the United States of America. It is not bad in the United States of America today. We might have to pay $4 for gas or $3 for gas. Some places in this world, they're paying $12 to $15 for a gallon of gas. If we want to know what it's bad like, let's go over to Kyrgyzstan with Brother McFall this morning. He's trying to find antibiotics for Misha because it's for his kidneys before he dies. We do not have it bad in the United States of America, brethren. Stop complaining and getting upset about what's going on in America and start getting a cause and a thirst after the things that matter, and that's the gospel of Jesus Christ and his righteousness. Get off of these subjects. It's draining you. It's leeching you. And I got a sermon. I don't know when God's going to let me preach it, but there in Proverbs chapter 30, it talks about a horse leech, and she's got two daughters crying, "Give, give." You're letting things in your life that's leeching away. It's pulling from you, and it's draining you. And it's one of the definitions of a horse leech, and I'm not trying to get into a sermon. One of the definitions of a horse leech is a farrier. A farrier is somebody that puts horseshoes on a horse. He's a man or a woman that works in iron. And if you break down the etymology of the word farrier, it comes back basically to iron and harden. And a lot of people are allowing this world to drain you, and it's hardening you to the things that are in the book of God's Word. It's hardening you, and it's draining you. And I got a whole sermon on the grave, the barren womb, the earth that's without water, and the fire never quenched. And it's killing you. It's killing your spiritual life. And so I bring it all back here to Psalm 42, where you have the psalmist, and guess what? You know what's killing us today is all the access we have to information. It's killing our walk with God. Moses didn't have a cell phone, but we do. Moses didn't have to worry about going into the tent and flipping on the television. Moses didn't have the internet to search for everything. All Moses had was God. And that's all we need, brethren. Now, I'm not saying today go home and get rid of everything. Understand what I'm saying. I'm saying do not let those things drain you and harden you to what God desires for you in your life. Don't fall short. Don't let the horse leech come in and grab a hold of you and not satisfy you. I'm asking this morning, do you have a thirst like the psalmist here in 42? As the heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? You know what another blessing that we have today, brethren, is that we can have the scriptures in our very hands. You go back into the times of the early church, and it was, if you had one little portion of the scripture, you were grateful. We got the whole canon of scripture. Not that we just have it, we got many copies of it. We got it coming out our ears. And yet people of the old time, and people even in the 60s and 70s, underneath the communism over there in Russia, you would have brethren that would be thankful for a little piece of paper that some scripture was copied down on. And yet we take it lightly. Oh, we got our Bible. Oh, I'm so thankful this morning for those that went before that were able to give me the scriptures. And that I can read it, and I can study it, and I can meditate upon it, and I can learn about who God is and what he's done for me. And may my soul always stay thirsty for the things of God. Take your Bible and look at Jeremiah chapter 2, verse number 13. Jeremiah chapter 2, look at verse number 13. Look what the Bible says here. This is nothing new today that we're facing. Jeremiah faced it in his day. And look what Jeremiah says about his people, God's people. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13. For my people have committed two evils. Kind of like that horse leech, but he gives a little different view on the two evils. He says, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, look what it says next, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. That basically Jeremiah is saying is that God's people have forsaken God, who is the fountain of living waters, who can satisfy and quench your soul and your spirit and satisfy the longing of your heart. God says they've forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. Jesus Christ came into his own and his own received him not. He was the fountain of living waters. He told that woman there at the well in John, he's like, if you're thirsty, ask me and I can give you living waters. But we've forsaken, and even back in Jeremiah's time, they had forsaken God, the fountain of living waters. And instead, the Bible says that they hewed out by their own works. They tried to make something that would satisfy them, thus denying the God that could satisfy them. They're looking in every place for satisfaction, but not the one place that can provide it, and that's God. And they've hewed out broken cisterns. Listen, I used to say this in a juvenile center all the time. You tell me something that will give you a high and make you happy and keep you there and not have some type of down on it. You get drunk, it feels good, because the Bible says in Hebrews that sin is pleasurable for a season. Sin is pleasurable. Or else people wouldn't do it. The bars wouldn't be packed on Friday and Saturday night unless it was pleasurable. If it was not pleasurable, they wouldn't be doing it. So sin is pleasurable, but it's for a season, the Bible says. And I used to ask those kids all the time, you give me something that'll give me happiness and joy and then stay there and have the possibility to stay there without eventually coming down. You get drunk, it feels good, you get the high with the drunk, but there's some men in here that can testify this, and probably some ladies maybe as well, that the next day you're down. And you feel like junk, you're throwing up the toilet, and it's a mess. And then like Proverbs says, I'm going to go back to it again. I'm going to get that high, I'm going to come back down again. People look for it in all different areas. Money, jobs, drugs, whatever. They're looking for that high. But unfortunately, that's broken. It's a broken cistern. Come back down again. Broken cistern, go back up again, down. The Bible says that God is a fountain of living waters. Now, it's also mentioned in Jeremiah 17:13. Jeremiah says again, the Lord says to him, O Lord, the hope of all Israel, that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. So it's mentioned again in Jeremiah 17:13. Now, I want you to take your Bible real quick this morning. Look at Proverbs 24. So we're looking at sustainment and upkeep. Look at the rivers of water. Now, if you're a saved individual this morning and you don't stay on top of these things, what's going to happen to believe spiritually is what we find in Proverbs chapter 24, verse 30. Okay, you have to maintain some things in your life. As a shepherd, if he's got a flock of sheep and he's on the hillsides of Bashan, he can't just sit back and just let things go. He's got to stay on top daily of where his sheep are at, what his sheep are eating, where there's a fresh water supply for his sheep. Now, I'm talking about the physical side of this now. A shepherd, a physical shepherd, is consistently busy if he's got a flock of sheep. There are some places in the Middle East and areas that I've been reading about with shepherds that one shepherd in particular said he used to get his kids and they used to have to go out into the pastures before they allowed the sheep to come into, because they had to move pastures. They had to go out there and there was a little tiny flower that they had to get down on their hands and knees and they had to remove all those flowers out of that pasture area because that flower could make the sheep very sick and ultimately kill it if they ate it. So that shepherd had to get down on his hands and knees, and this one would have his kids help because it was such a great work, before he could bring his sheep into this area. And I say all that to say this, what we're going to read here is, in your daily walk with God, you've got to have upkeep. You can't just let it drift. You can't drift with God. You've got to stay on top of things, or before you know it, it's going to be all grown over, and you're going to find some things that are a mess. Look at Proverbs chapter 24, verse 30. I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man, look, void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof. And look at this now. And the stone wall thereof was broken down. How many things today are broken down because men and women did not keep the upkeep of it to keep it built up? Verse 32. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy, look what it says, poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Now, I ain't got time to go to scriptures with this, but this coincides with what Paul says in Romans and in other places in his epistles, awake out of sleep. Too many Christians today are asleep. They're saved, but they're asleep. And the Bible says here in Proverbs 32, then I saw and I considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet not a lot. Look what it says. A little sleep. A little sleep. We've looked at it before. It's all little things that eventually become big things in our life. It starts off little. Well, this little thing won't hurt me. How many young men and young women have gotten addicted to drugs because they said they start off with cigarettes? It's just a cigarette. It's just a little thing. And then they're around friends that are that way, and one friend says, hey, well, try this now. And so they smoke a little weed. It's just a little thing. It's not going to hurt. It's just going to calm you down a little bit. And before they know it, they're down a path that they never thought they'd be on because they started with something little. Just take a little sip of alcohol. Just try a little. That's the way of the devil. A little. Here the Bible says, a little sleep. Not sleeping 18 hours a day. Just sleeping when you're supposed to be awake and doing something. See, there's a time for everything, brethren. And this man or woman, whoever it is, they took a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, and poverty came. It got broken down. Don't allow a little sleep in your life. Stay awake and keep things the way they need to be. Now, as we close up this morning, we're going to shift gears from trees. Because look, we're looking at waters. We're looking at refreshing streams that are found there in the land of Bashan. But there's giants there. We've got to deal with the giants in order to be able to drink from that water and help us. And not just as sometimes we're looked at as trees planted by the rivers of God. The Bible also refers to saved individuals as sheep. You become saved, you're now one of God's sheep. When you're lost, I believe you're either a dog or a pig. Okay, dog returns to his vomit, sow back to her wallowing in the mire. Okay, when you become saved, you become a new creature in Jesus Christ. Old things pass away, all things become anew. I believe you become a sheep, one of God's sheep. And now he's your great shepherd. And my sheep know my voice. See, sheep can hear the voice of God. I'm not talking about an audible voice this morning. I'm talking about as he speaks through his word to you. His sheep know his voice. So the question I got this morning is, do you hear his voice? Because Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. Now, so we're going to transition and hopefully finish up this morning looking at some things with sheep concerning the water that they're supposed to drink. You see, with sheep, water, and I would say most of life, the most important thing that you need in life is water. Water is essential. I learned that down there on the mission field. You can go, it talks about some animals and creatures can go 10 days without food. But sheep usually can only maybe go 2 days without water before it really affects them to where almost they die. Water is essential for sheep. And I learned that down there in the Dominican. Guess what? You can go without electricity. You can be just fine without electricity. And you can maybe even go a little bit without some food. But you take away water, you're in trouble, sir. And you're in trouble, ma'am, if you don't have water. And in places like that and other places, countries, you just can't drink the water that comes out. You get really sick. So most of those places, you have to drink bottled water. So water was very, very important. Where we lived up in the mountains up there in the Dominican, we got our water from a spring that was further up in the mountains. And they had rigged it together with PVC pipe and they had used duct tape and all. And they ran it down the mountainside. But before it got to our house, as it came down the mountainside, the farmer that had cattle up there, he diverted off of that pipe to help water, make a little watering hole for his cows. And then from there, it ran down to where our home was into a cistern. And they were able to pull water from that cistern to help us take showers or wash clothes. But water was very vital, and we always had to battle for that water, because the farmer would go up there and divert that water for his cows and leave it there, and then no water would come down to us. So how many times I had to send my kids, hey, go up the mountain, flip that switch again so it comes down to us. But I realized how important water is, but you don't realize it till you stop having it. We take it for granted, brethren. You may think I'm crazy, but I try to thank God, and I ask God to help me remember every time I flip that faucet up, thank you, Lord, I got water coming out there. Because imagine, brethren, your lives if all of a sudden we didn't have water coming to our homes. You wouldn't be able to flush your toilets. I'm putting things in perspective. Real quick, it started affecting your life, the lack of water. We take it for granted. We just flush the toilet because of water. We take it for granted. We take a shower, that water's going to come out. We take it for granted. We get ready to cook. We flip it, and water's there. What if all of a sudden there was no water? It would definitely change our lives real quick. Real quick. Almost get us to start sweating. Water is essential. And for animals, they can go 10 days without food, but only some can survive after 2 days without water. Take your Bible, look at Psalm 138, verse 2. Psalm 138, verse 2. Psalm 138, verse number 2. Look what the Bible says here. Now, again, I'm not going to run all cross references on this. There's tons of cross references. We're not going to go through them all. But we know in the book of Philippians that Jesus Christ, his name is above every name. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's no other name that's higher than the name of Jesus Christ. It's by Jesus Christ that we're saved. There's no salvation in any other name. There's none other name like the name of Jesus Christ, right? So his name is going to be magnified and lifted up because that's what God says. But look what Psalm 38 verse 2 says. I will worship towards thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word, little w. That's the scriptures. That's not Jesus Christ, capital W-O-R-D like you find in the book of Revelation. This is little W-O-R-D. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. The scriptures are magnified. We don't even realize how important the scriptures are. God says, I've magnified my word above my very name. And I used to say this, what good is your name if you can't keep your word? Your name means absolutely nothing if you don't keep your word. It used to be in olden days. Now, I've never experienced it. Some of you might have experienced that in dealings in older days, you didn't have 5,000 sheets of paper to get a deal done. You handshake. Your word, my word, handshake. The deal's done. I trust you. You trust me. I say I'm going to pay you X amount for this land. I'll accept this X amount for land. Let's shake on it. It's a deal. Done. Now, what if I renege on it? What does it affect? My name. My reputation, because I didn't keep my word. If God hasn't kept his word, then his name means nothing. So where's God's word? Because God said he'd keep it. Not only just keep it, it's magnified above his very name. I mean, it's right here. We've got it right in our hands. And we can read it. And we can trust it. And we can grow by it. You know how important the scriptures are? Is Jesus, three times when he was tempted of the devil, Jesus could have looked at the devil and said, get out of me. I rebuke thee. Get away from me. I created you. You know who I am. Stop bothering me. Get away from me. I got to do my Father's will. And the devil would have had to leave. Because Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. And he's got all power over Satan. Satan's nothing. He created Satan. And he could have very looked at Satan and said, get away from me. Get. But he didn't, because he realized that we couldn't do that. We can't look at Satan and say, get away. I got nothing. Uh-uh. Jesus did is he gave us three keys on how to defeat and resist the devil. And he says, it is written, it is written, it is written. And even when he was provoked, when the devil changed the scriptures, because the devil ended up using Psalm 91. And if you compare Psalm 91 with what was written in Matthew chapter 4, you're going to realize that the devil changed a word. He removed a word and he added a word. Three things: changed, removed, and added. So there's power in God's word, and the devil wants to do everything to keep us from it, because that's where the power's found, and that's how we get victory over the sin, death, and hell, and the devil. And we go back to the scriptures and we say, it is written. You know how I know I have imputed righteousness? Because it's written. You know how I'm reconciled to God? Because it's written. You know how I know that I'm now made the righteousness of God in Him? Because the Bible tells me so. We sing it to our kids. Yes, Jesus. Why? Because the Bible tells me so. So we have the scriptures, and we grow by the scriptures, and the scriptures are our water. Take your Bible, look at Ephesians chapter number 5. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Ephesians 5, verse number 25. Look what the Bible says here. Don't downplay the Word of God. Don't downplay the Word of God. Look what Ephesians chapter 5, I'm sorry, verse 26. Ephesians 5, verse 26. Look what the Bible says here. It's referring to Christ and the church and a husband with his wife. We find some analogies here, but Paul says here in chapter 5, verse 26, that he might sanctify, who? The Lord Jesus Christ. That he might sanctify and cleanse it. That's talking about the church, his church. He's going to sanctify his church, which means he's going to set his church apart. And not only that, he's going to cleanse it. How? With the washing of water. By what? By the word. How do you keep your life clean, brethren? Spending time in the word of God. It will help keep you clean, not physically, spiritually. Now, water is the most important nutrient. Number two, water keeps sheep cool in hot weather. So a sheep needs water because sheep sweat, and that helps them keep them cool in hot weather. I'm going to give you scripture references. I'm not going to go to them this morning because I want to get to some of these points. But in 1 Peter chapter 4, 12 and 13, and 1 Thessalonians 3, 1 and 5, when things get hot in our life, fiery trials try us, we need the water of God's word to help keep us cool down. And keep things in perspective to help us through those fiery trials and temptations. Take your Bible now. This is the next point. Look at Romans 12, 1 and 2. Again, these are scriptures that we've memorized. We've got them down. But you know that another thing that water does, brethren. This is another thing that water does. Not only does it help sustain us where we can sweat and keeps us cool. Not only is it needed to sustain life. Water is also needed to transport nutrients through the body. You need water, and you need to drink water to help your circulatory system to help transport through your body the nutrients that your body needs. So water helps to get the nutrients that all your body parts and organs need. Look at Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed, now look, by the renewing of your mind, that you may, what? For what purpose? That you may approve what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now this is referring to a saved individual. Now, I'm not a smart man, nor do I claim to be a smart man, but I believe when we look at this, we can also flip it to its opposite, to where there's a possibility as a saved individual to not do that which is good or acceptable or perfect will of God. To me, I'm not a Calvinist this morning, right? And just because you're saved doesn't mean now from this point forward, you're going to do everything that's right in your life and you're going to live the perfect will of God. No, it's a choice. God's not going to force you. Now, God will bring chastening along, absolutely, which is a spanking, because he chastens his sons that he loves, and a good father will chasten his sons that he loves. And that's a whole other message. But here it talks about how do we do those things that are good? How do we do those things that are acceptable that he'll receive? Because what this is showing me is that, and I've talked about this before, that we can do things as Christians that he might not accept. Because maybe it's being done in our will and not in his will. It says, we do these things, we renew our mind, what for what purpose? That we may be able to prove. There's a proving that needs to take place of the things that are good, the things that are acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, when we become stagnant, like when we don't let water, drink water and let the water flow through our bodies physically, and when we don't allow water and a washing of the word to flow over us and to be in our spiritual bodies, so to speak, for lack of words, and move and deal with us on the inside, there's a danger of contracting disease or viruses. You see, stagnant water is very, very dangerous. It can be deadly, real deadly. And what comes from the bacteria and waters like cholera and things like that, it can mess whole troops up. You talk about men in Vietnam and World War II and all that. More men died from disease than I think from bullets. Because if you don't keep things sanitary and clean, you have the possibility of all kinds of diseases spreading and just killing people. And the Jews realized that from the Old Testament, the very thing of just washing your hands. Just washing your hands will help keep from things spreading. So Romans, though, says this. Renewing your mind. Allowing God's word to work through you. And it aids in the transporting of the nutrients through your whole body. I'm closing with this morning. The word renewing means this. To make new again. But it also means this. Repairing. Reestablishing. Renovating and repeating. Four R's for the definition of renewing in the dictionary. When you renew your mind, now this principle, we're going to close with this. This principle is found in the Word of God that a Christian continually needs to renew his mind. There might be things, some things that as you try to renew your mind in the things of God, that God deals with you and shows you, okay, you need a little repairing here. You need a little renovating over here. You need a little bit of repeating over here. And that's how you renew yourself so that you can prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. By that renewing. And as that renewing takes place, you realize, I need to reestablish this in my life. I let this slip. A little slumber, a little sleep, a little folding of the hands. I let this slip a little bit in my life. And God's now dealing with me, saying, hey, you need to reestablish this in your life. You used to have this when you first got saved. And as you're renewing your mind, God comes in and says, listen, you need to reestablish this. You used to do it. You need to do it now. Let's get this back in our life. And as you're renewing your mind, God says, okay, we need a little repairing over here. You kind of let this fall apart. You kind of need to start repeating these things. Not just do it one time, but let this be a sustainment like we talked about. A sustainment. Let this fruit keep repeating in your life. Not just one time. Let's get this to where it's repeating. So when you renew your mind, you allow these things to work in your life. Now look at Philippians chapter 3. We're going to look at three scriptures when it talks about renewing and how important it is to renew. You're not going to get defeat over these giants, and you're not going to get the nutrients and sustainment you need unless you renew your mind consistently and are not conformed to this world. Take your Bible and look at Philippians chapter 3. These are some very, very interesting scriptures for me. I don't know how they are with you, but they are for me. Look what Paul says here, direction of the Holy Spirit of God. Look what Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 1. Philippians chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, my brethren, he's getting ready to close this letter out. Two more chapters. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. And then he says this, to write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you, look at this next part, it is safe. Paul says, forgive me if I'm repeating myself. Forgive me. It's not grievous to me to repeat myself, to write the same things unto you. But for you, it's safe. And what he's saying, what Paul's saying is, what I'm giving you, even though I might be repetitive with it, it's safe ground for you. And a lot of Christians today get off on unsafe ground. You say, preacher, what's the safe ground? Well, let's just read what Paul put the emphasis on in Philippians. What did Paul put the emphasis on in the book of Philippians? Now, that's a whole other study. Now, two more scriptures. We're closing up. Take your Bible. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. Would you say this morning, let me ask you this question. Would you say this morning that Timothy and Paul had a pretty good walk with God? I would say, yeah. I would say, brethren, I'm not trying to be funny this morning. I'm just trying to, this verse is a very interesting verse. I would say Paul had a very close walk with God. And I believe Timothy, as his spiritual son and Lord, I believe Timothy had a good close walk with God. But look what Paul says to his son in the faith in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and look at verse number 8. Look at verse 7 first. He's talking to Timothy. Consider what I say. And look what he says. Now, he's saying this to Timothy. Timothy, consider what I say. And Timothy, he says, Timothy, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. And look what he says in verse 8. Remember, Timothy, that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Do you see, as we close out this morning, Paul tells Timothy, Timothy, one thing I want you to remember. I want you to remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David, remember that he rose from the dead according to my gospel. What is that inferring? That's inferring that you could forget that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And Paul realized that. And Paul's wisdom, the Holy Spirit giving Paul that wisdom, knew that he needed to tell this young preacher man, Timothy, continuing the things that I'm telling you. But Timothy, as you go on and minister for the things of God, Timothy, I want you to always remember that Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Remember that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Now I'm going to tell you here. Peter preached the same thing. We're going to close with this. So Paul tells Timothy to remember. Now look at this last verse I want you to look at this morning before we pray. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. Some will say that we don't need Peter and all these other... No, Peter wrote to a legit group of Christians. And a lot of what Peter said matches up exactly with what Paul said. Now we're going to close with this. Please pay attention. Paul told Timothy, Timothy, remember that Jesus rose from the dead. For the sake of time, I'm not going to read it all. But we're going to pick up here in verse number... 2 Peter, look at verse number 8. Okay, he listed some things as verses. Look at verse 8. And if these things be in you, what he lists in the first 7 verses. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in what? In the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But let's go on. But he that lacketh these things, what things? The things that he mentioned, verses 1 through 7, is blind and cannot see afar off. And look at this. And hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. Look at verse 12. Always in remembrance of these things. Look at verse 13. Putting you in remembrance. Look at verse 15. Always in remembrance. To verse 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. I'm not going to go through all of it. But basically, Peter, remember what? These things. Why? So that you don't become blind and unfruitful and forget that you were purged from your old sins. Brethren, if you neglect these things, you let these things go off to the side, people can get to a point to where they forget that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And Paul realized that it's not grievous for him to repeat the same things, but it's safe. It keeps you grounded solid on biblical doctrines. But if you don't put these things in, you can begin to forget, and a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands, so shall thy poverty come upon you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning. Lord, thank you for your mercy and grace. Lord, forgive me, dear God. I know I went through fast through some of these things to God, but there's just so much here. Lord, help us to continue to battle these giants, Lord. The giants that might try to come into our lives, Lord, and stir us and turn us away from the things that really do matter, dear God. Lord, help us to stay in your word. Help us to meditate upon it. Let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart always be acceptable to you, Lord. Lord, help us, as the psalmist says, to meditate upon these things day and night. Lord, help us not to be forgetful hearers, but doers of the word. And Lord, as Peter told the brethren there back 2,000 years ago to that early church, he put the brethren in the remembrance of these things. So Lord, help us to remember, Lord. Help us to renew our mind. Help us, Lord, that there may be some things in our life today, dear God, that you're trying to reestablish. God, there may be some things in our life that you're trying to get us to help us repair. Lord, there's some things in our life that you might just want us to start now trying to repeat it. It's good that we did it once, but help us now to repeat it. Lord, help us to be not conformed to this world, but help us to be transformed and renewed by your power and through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Lord, help us now this morning. Thank you for this time. Lord, may you just receive the glory and honor. We pray these things in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's take a little break here. At the quarter hour, we'll start the service. If any men are interested, we'll be praying in about 5 minutes. Amen.